So the story of Abraham and Sarah, we think those are the main two people. And we got Abraham, and he was called to, out of a comfort. He was 75 years old and maybe retired by then. Was that retirement age these days? I don't know. I'm hitting 60. I'm like, is it time? How much is my, is there any, do I even have a 401k? Not sure, right? Do we have one? Oh, you, oh, yeah. She's got one. Can I have some? I'm financially irresponsible. I truly am. And so, but not her. You don't marry someone that's irresponsible like you, okay? You'll want something in common with people. No, you want someone totally opposite of you, because I've got all the bad habits, and she's got the good ones. And so we make, that's what we do. But then we have these two, and he's called out to go be a father of a great nation. He's looking at this old woman wife of his, right? And she's like, I can't do this. The first thing you know about me is I don't have children, have not had them yet. But he says, I'm going to bless you, you and her. It's going to happen. Do you trust me? And he does. So he picks up his stuff, and he goes into the land that God was going to give him, the land of Canaan. They call it Israel now. Some call it Palestine. Palestine's the Roman name that the Romans gave the area. But it was Canaan. He goes, now this is yours and your inheritance. From Egypt all the way to the Euphrates, all the way to Iraq, this is yours. If you look on the map today, how much they got? They got about this much, right? And they give it away every year for peace until it gets smaller and smaller. Not to get the politics of it all, but they want it all, don't they? They want Israel gone. This is what we see in this horrible war that's been going on for so many, since 1948 at least. So this is your land. I'm giving it to you. And so he trusts God, and he does what he says, and he goes into the land of Canaan, but then a famine comes. And so he goes into the land of Egypt because there's food there, and Egypt is a very fertile place because it's got the Nile there, right? It's always running. The Nile never runs out. Always plenty of water. So on the banks of the Nile, there's plenty of food. We see the story where Joseph goes there, and he creates all that surplus of food over those 7 years that God told him to do. And while he's there, he says, listen, you're very beautiful, Sarah, and they're going to take you from me because I'm just a weak man. And so they do. Pharaoh's officials see him and say, you got to see this woman. And so he takes her. But as this is happening, God puts a curse over Pharaoh's house, everyone's very sick and has diseases, and they know what it's caused by. It's because you're messing with God's plan. You took Sarah. This is not your job. This is not your... She's not for you. You can't take her. She belongs to Abraham. I got a plan, and you're in the middle of it. And what happens? There's a curse on your house. There's a lesson to be learned here. So he says, get out of here and take a lot of cattle, take a lot of sheep, take some men, take some women, take a maidservant. Some say that she is the Egyptian princess, the Pharaoh's own daughter, and her name is what? Hagar. It's a woman named Hagar. So here's the third person introduced to this story. She's simply a slave girl, she's given to Sarah to ease the curse of God. And they go back to Canaan, where God said, this is your land. And there they're living, and once again, 10 years or so pass by, and Sarah still doesn't have a son. And we know that comparison is a thief of joy, isn't it? What's the neighbor got? Does he have a nicer swimming pool? Don, you should see my neighbor's pool. I got mine at Walmart, all right? I put it on the back of my trailer, and I drove it home, and somebody T-boned me, pulled right in front of me. Well, I T-boned them. They pulled right in front of me. I'm like, what a redneck. I got to get my swimming pool home, but I had an accident, you know? Well, we got home. Every quarter panel on that truck was brand new. I drive around. People say, Sean, you got a new truck? No, I just smashed it, and then they gave me all new parts. 3 times, Fran, I smashed it. People are like, that truck still looks great. Because I smash it, and they give new ones. I lost a safe driver discount. Can you believe it? I'm slow, and 3 accidents. They're all under 20 miles an hour, right? Two were in my driveway. So if you park in my driveway, Fran and Nancy, stay away from the red truck. Maybe just park in the neighbor's. I'll get you. Where was I? So now we have this story. Sarah, she can't have a child. She sees it all around her. Everyone's having babies but her. And Abraham has grown into this large city. You know, he's got over 300 men who are equipped to fight, plus their women, plus their children. Abraham is a village. And so, but he doesn't have an heir. Who's going to get it all? Who's going to get all this stuff? Who's going to get it? He doesn't have anyone. He says, maybe I'll give it to my servant, Eli. I'll give it all to him. But God says, I got a plan for you. Trust me, she's going to have a baby. Genesis 16. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. This is acceptable. This is the law. It's Hammurabi's code. You guys remember Hammurabi's law code? It's one thing I learned in 10th grade from Mr. Shea. He also told me the Bible was false. And I was like, okay. And he proved it logically. I was like, oh, I guess the Bible's false. He was wrong. Don't listen to a soccer coach. And so he said, it was Hammurabi's law code, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And some people say we see that in the book of Leviticus, too. And what's that story about, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? What is it meant to do? If you knock out my tooth, I get to knock yours out. And what does that do? Is that a good thing? Is it, Nancy, good or bad? It's a good thing because it prevents me from, if you knock out my eye, I don't kill your whole family. You see, it makes it equal. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. There's a fairness there. You see? Otherwise, people go nuts on each other. And so the Hammurabi law, this is law number 146. I'm getting geeky, aren't I? I'm getting really Bible nerdy, Joey. What do you think of that? Hammurabi's law, because there's no Ten Commandments, right? There's no Leviticus. There's no Jesus yet. It's the law of the land, shame and honor. She can't have a child. She is shamed. She has one. She's exalted. She is honored. So 146 says, you can take your slave girl, your maid servant, and she can have your child, and it's yours. You can put your lineage, your heritage, your inheritance through this one. It's okay. It's also the local code. Of course, there's Hammurabi's code, like state and local codes, right? I'm working in Elkton right now. We see the inspection people every day, like every 5 minutes. Right, Chuck? Chuck hangs one piece of wire, that truck drives by. And then we put on a shingle and they drive by. They're checking. We got the big permit. They know us. They know what we had for lunch, you know. So the local code is called Ernami Code Number 5. And it says the same thing. You can take your maidservant. And the word take is a terrible word, isn't it? Take. Not ask. Take. So it's the law. You can do this. Sarah's got an idea. She knows she's too old. Let's take Hagar as what? His wife. She's a slave, and now she's equal, isn't she? She's on the same level. She's been elevated. She just got a promotion. Sarah took her, the Egyptian slave Hagar, and he gave her to her husband to be his wife. And don't you see the word took? Getting real Bible nerdy here. It's the same word when Eve took the apple, didn't she? And she gave it to her husband, Adam. And it wasn't right. Sarah can't give away Hagar. It's not hers to give. She's her own person. But in that system, it was fine. And she gave. And old Abraham, he says, sure, he's got no qualms about this. So he slept with Hagar and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, then Hagar began to despise Sarah. Just like at the apple tree, right? Then Sarah said to Abraham, you're responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms. Now she knows that she is pregnant and she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Who's accountable for this whole situation? In the garden, it's Adam. He's accountable for what Eve has done. So here, Abraham, he's the one at fault. The man of the house should know better. This isn't a man-woman thing, all right? This is head of household. As a man, he should know not to do this. Don't eat the apple. Don't take the woman. Not yours. God put you and Sarah together. He washes his hands of it, much like Pilate, right? Your slave is in your hands. do whatever with her whatever you think best. Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. And the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? You see, I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she said. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. Then the angel added this, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. We've heard this before, haven't we? This is the promise to Abraham. You're going to have so many descendants you can't count them, more than the stars in the sky or the grains of sand that are on the beach. That's how many. Do you trust me? Do you believe me? And they say, no, we don't trust you. We're going to do it our way. The angel of the Lord says, go back to your mistress and submit to her. I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son, and you shall call him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in hostility towards all of his brothers. So she gave the name to the Lord who spoke to her. She gave this name to the Lord who had spoken to her. Nobody puts the label on God. He tells you who I am. I am Yahweh. I am. And this woman says, you are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one that sees me. I will call you El Ra. That is why the well is called Beer Lahah Ra. It is still there today between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son that she had born. And he was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. We see this. His name is Ishmael. You know me, I like names. All names have meanings, don't they? Who do I know who's got a name I can remember? We have any Catherines here? No. Anyway, we know this name Ishmael means the Lord hears me. And where do we see this? In the same word, Shem, the Shema, right? Right, Joey? I was looking at you. The Shema. What does the Shema say? Hear me. Do you hear? It's a central Jewish prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is our God. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever. The Shema, do you hear? God hears this woman. She's not supposed to be, God's promise is not supposed to come through her. It's supposed to come through Sarah, but they don't trust him, so they go to her. But God finds favor in her. He sees her. She's not the one. But is he going to bless her? Oh, he is, with so many descendants. But he has a prophecy about her, him. He'll be a wild donkey of a man. That's kind of a cute, funny, it's like an insult, isn't it? It's like Gordon Ramsay when he calls the lousy chef a donkey. And he puts two slices of bread and he puts it on his head and goes, what are you? An idiot sandwich, right? It's funny when he's insulting someone. You're a wild donkey of a man. But a wild donkey is a real thing. It's territorial. Your people are going to be territorial. A wild donkey will stay in his territory even when the food and the crops are gone during famine. He'll stay there because it's his, and he'll die of starvation because that's his spot. He's stubborn. That's what he's going to do. And his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in hostility towards his brother. And we, of course, see this come true when he's hostile to his brother Isaac, the true heir of Abraham. And who do these people become? They become the Muslims. And so we say to ourselves, why don't we have peace in the world? Where does it all start? Do we have a good understanding of it? It starts from the beginning here. We will always be at odds with them. But what does God think of them? He's going to bless them. You know, in Daniel, we talked about it in class. We talked about it at the board meeting. Do we pray for Iran? What does it say there in Daniel chapter 9? Right, Jim? What do we say? Do we pray for Iran and their leaders? We don't, do we? What do we think of them? Have you seen that place? It's a beautiful country, isn't it? They have movie theaters. They have tree-lined streets, beaches, all agriculture. You can't believe how much food they can produce. Uranium, they can't have that. They are blessed people. Do we pray for Daniel says, I held them, God says, I held them at bay. While you prayed for peace, I held them. You see? Remember he held them for like 90 days, whatever it said? You were praying, and I held the people of Persia down. Do you pray for them? Does God see these people? He sees all of us, doesn't he? Don't you love this name she gives them? She's a slave. She is less than, she is owned, she's a piece of property. And now she is seen by the God in heaven. Isn't that neat? He sees her. He hears her. And her son will be great. He will be wild donkey. He'll be territory. His hands will be against other people. He will live in hostility towards his brothers, but he will still be blessed. So I wanted to figure out how to finish it up, because I'm going to do it on time today. How about that? That's what I always say. So I think about what's the promise God's got for me, because I'm always ungrateful half the time. Grateful the other. I sit down and every day we say grace together and I thank God for all the good things. Then I get up and 10 minutes later I'm complaining about my knee hurts. It's hot. I can't get the job done outside. My family hates me. You know, not this one. You know, I can't even go get a. I needed that 50-1 oil. I was out. Who runs out of that stuff? You get a 6-pack for like $5, right, Fran? You get a whole bunch. And I'm out. I'm like, ooh. So I have to go to my brother's, get one. And he gave me one. And then he gave me a hard time. I was backing out the driveway. He was just giving me the business about, he was upset about something. And I'm just backing, driving out, you know. All right. I'll see you. Thanks for the oil, you know. Just want to do some weed whack and get this day over with. And so I complain about these things and I think, what's the promise? Do I have? And then I sit with a family. And God said, this is where I need you. I'm going to put you in a room with a family. I'm going to put you in a hospital room. And you're going to talk. You're just going to be there. Sean, you're not that gifted with words, but you can show up. That's how I kept that job with the union, Chuck. I just showed up until one day he said, there's no more work for dum-dums. We need the good ones. I understand. We had 20 guys on the job. I was probably the 18th best one. That's okay, because there's work for that guy. If you show up, because the top 10, they don't 3 days out of the week. Sometimes they don't come. Just show up, and then it's okay. So what's the promise? What do we get? What are we waiting on God for? Do we trust Him? I'm not so sure, but I know there's something for me. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep showing up, Abraham. Keep showing up, Sarah. The problem is that we know the story. I've done this one before. The problem with Abraham and Sarah is they don't go to the same tent. Why can't we have kids? Well, you're not in the right tent. She's in the tent baking bread. He's with the maidservants. God says, if you remember your vows, one man, one woman, you come together and the promise will be kept in my time, not your time. Do you trust me? And so we sit in this room and they're weeping and I weep with them. And you talk about the resurrection. Ruth Stetson accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Today she is in heaven where there is a feast. There is a groom and she is the bride and now she wears white. And the Bible tells us there's food there. There's good meats and there's good cheese and there's the finest wine. And there's fruit there. There's a tree with 12 different kinds of fruit. and there's glory, and they're singing with angels, and this is what heaven's like, and the streets are gold and carnelian and lapis lazuli, and there's all these good things, and what are we so upset about? And I know, I walked there too. But look where she is, and look what the promise is. And some days it feels like I feel like I'm falling short. But I'm going to read the words tomorrow. Not my words. The words of Jesus. That I will wipe away all your tears. I will give you a new body. And there will be no more pain. And there will be no more suffering. And this will last forever and ever. And evil will be thrown into a lake of fire. Destroyed forever. When will this come? In his time. I hope you see a word of encouragement here. I hope I didn't mix too many metaphors, as it were, but you see, God sees you. We're always not the first choice. Maybe we're the second choice, but he still sees us, and he still blesses us, and our descendants will be more than grains of sand on the beach. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time. We are grateful. We are demanding, and we don't deserve such love. But you gave it to us anyway because you loved us first. You loved us when you stitched us together in that secret place. Then you placed us in our mother's womb to be born. You know every hair that is on our head. You breathed with your breath into us and gave us life. You took us from the dirt. You took half of man. You made woman. That when we come together, we are one. That we are complete. We are whole. We have shalom. We have peace. Some days we feel it's hard to trust you. But you always keep your promises. You get us through our sufferings. You give us perseverance. You make character. And then we have hope. Hope in you. Hope in the resurrection. Hope that we know that what the next step in life looks like. It's a place called paradise. And you'll be there, and we will be there, because we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who is Savior, whom we place our trust. Amen.